This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal for January 30th, 2026. This is Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we speak with Somalian-American community organizer Safia Khalid with Community Organizing Alliance in Lewiston on the ICE surge and the community's reaction. We hear some of the speeches from Somalian-American community leaders at a rally against ICE in Lewiston last Saturday, and we hear some of the public testimony yesterday before the Legislative Judiciary Committee on LD 2106, a bill that would prohibit immigration agents from entering non-public areas of hospitals, schools, libraries, and daycare facilities, or accessing records from those institutions without a judicial warrant, a protection which has been in place prior to the Trump administration's rollback last January. Since January 20th, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, has reportedly detained over 200 people. In this so-called Operation Catch of the Day, ICE has taken people from their homes, their cars, and public places, smashing car windows, leaving cars running abandoned, with personal belongings strewn. Supposedly with a list of 1,400 criminals, masked ICE agents have racially profiled people, asking for papers to prove their citizenship, and indiscriminately arresting people in legal asylum processes with work permits and no criminal records. In a statement released yesterday, ICE highlighted only 10 people it accused of criminal activity it has arrested between January 20th and January 24th. The accused violations range from aggravated assault to driving under the influence, the latter being the charges against half of the 10. ICE statements reads, ICE officers arrested more than 200 illegal alien offenders during less than 1 week of targeted immigration enforcement throughout the state of Maine. The statement quotes ICE Deputy Assistant Director Patricia Hyde stating, quote, the early success of this operation displays how effectively ICE officers can operate anywhere in any environment. Our officers arrested more than 200 alien offenders in less than a week, despite the organized efforts from activist groups, radical politicians, and protesters to thwart our activities. ICE will not be deterred from enforcing U.S. immigration law, end quote. Disturbing cases highlighted by the Portland Press Herald and others include the taking of an 18-year-old University of Southern Maine asylum seeker from Gabon with no criminal record, a civil engineer from Colombia with a master's degree from the University of Maine here on a work visa, a contractor from Brazil also in asylum process, a mother of four from the Democratic Republic of the Congo in the U.S. for almost 10 years with a pending asylum application now being detained in Louisiana, and numerous others. The greater Portland area and Lewiston have been the primary targets, both areas with a higher population of settled refugees, asylum seekers, and other immigrant people, including Somalian immigrants who the Trump administration has targeted with vitriol and attacked with ICE operations in Minnesota. Maine communities have been gripped in fear, but also have pushed back in concerted organizing efforts to support immigrant community members and loudly rebuke ICE's terrorizing tactics. Yesterday, Senator Susan Collins reported that the Secretary of Homeland Security has said that the Operation Catch of the Day is over, but communities that have seen an exponential increase in arrests and aggressive tactics since Trump came into office remain steadfast. Today, we speak with Safia Khalid, a community organizer, Somalian American, who also was the youngest person to serve on the Lewiston City Council. She is the founder and director of Community Organizing Alliance. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to join you and have this conversation.
We know you're out straight with your involvement in organizing community responses to all the recent ICE activity, so we'll try not to take too much of your time. We want to talk with you about the experiences of Lewiston and the Somalian immigrant community specifically. This past year, since ICE has been ramping up in Maine, so this just hasn't been recently, it's been ramped up for a number of months now. Obviously, it's escalated with the surge. If you can talk with us about the experiences and the impacts generally on the community, on the people, on the institutions, what that's been like.
Yes, thank you so much. You know, when Donald Trump got elected on November 2024. We knew his community attacks and the othering and the demonization of immigrant populations in Lewiston and across the country, right? In every community would escalate. And that's exactly what we've been preparing for. And we have witnessed it these past few weeks here in Maine. For a while, we have been preparing as much as we can, put systems in place, put tactics in place, organize, create relationships, etc. As organizers on the ground. But what we the escalations that we have seen this past week was something that, that was really unimaginable. At one point in the midst of it all, as the organizer, just trying to respond as much as I can, it was overwhelming. It was overwhelming where I would get a call say, oh, someone was just abducted. I would get another call said, my brother was just taken and we need some legal support to this family needs grocery and they feel unsafe to can you take this girl from school? Her mother was abducted last night, and so on and so forth. The stories continue to pile up. And immigrant communities continue to live in fear. And some even have left the state, unfortunately, and some have sheltered in place. And kids feel unsafe. Kids have been traumatized. And these kids will, right, see what is happening in their communities, to their parents, to their families getting separated. The damage to kids and to students is really traumatic.
Has the experience been this past week in the surge a lot of visible ICE in the streets? Have the arrests and detentions been in people's homes, in people's cars? Has it been any time of day? What has that experience been like?
Yeah, these past 2 weeks, especially, like you said earlier, ICE operation has been at a lower level this past year and these past few months, right? We hear isolated instances and situations and instances where they, abduct someone and harass someone on the street. But the surge these past 2 weeks, yeah, that has been exactly what happened. People be getting stopped in the streets while they're in their cars, just because they look suspicious. It's not that they look suspicious, it's just that they are black and brown. And because of the color of their skin, or because of someone's accent, that's why they have been targeted and stopped. It's not about legal citizenship. It's not about criminals. It's not about protecting Americans and our communities. It is about, for the Trump administration, targeting a community and creating division, right? They have absolutely been cruel, and have engaged in inhumane activities to separate families and instill trauma that I don't think we can come back from.
Absolutely. And can you talk a little bit about the fact that so many people in the Somali communities and immigrant communities throughout Maine are in asylum processes? They're here seeking asylum, or they're here because they are refugees. And that's not to say that someone who is undocumented should be treated this way, but people are actually in legal processes, and that has not been respected, and people are abducted and are now being imprisoned elsewhere.
Yeah, no, the Trump administration is not really adhering to any constitutional, state, or federal law whatsoever. They are engaging in illegal activities. This is not about criminals or someone who does not have a status. Many, many people across the state of Maine who are immigrants are largely Especially Somali folks, for example, 99% of them are naturalized citizens, came through a refugee process. So, in a state, especially in Lewiston and in Portland with a large Somali population and in Minneapolis, why are you targeting a community and American citizens who have came through the right channels? Many folks, over the course of the few years have came to Maine as well for asylum, right? Asylum process. And they are currently seeking asylum there. Their application is in process, and they have, legal, like asylum is something legal, and they have work permit. And just because of these different statuses doesn't mean give you the right to abduct and kidnap and harass people whatsoever. There was a woman who was absolutely screaming, and it was terrifying and heartbreaking. That was abducted, I think, in Westbrook, I believe. And her screams just gives me so much chill that I don't think I will ever recover. And these men were just like her, arresting her. Another woman was taken from her home in Lewiston in the Strawberry Tall Pines area, and put in a car with a bunch of men that are masked, right? So, yeah, again, many people here in our state and immigrants have legal statuses, are here rightfully. Are seeking, safety and justice and dignity in our home state, and we shouldn't be terrorizing them at all.
You are listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio 89.9 FM. If you are just joining us, we're speaking with Safiya Khalid with the Community Organizing Alliance in Lewiston on the impacts of ICE operations in that community and the organizing efforts to support people. I know it's probably hard to know, but do you have an idea of the number of people that have been taken from the Lewiston area in this latest surge?
I do not know. I think I do not know. The thing is, those personal stories and these people that I connect with, and the mothers and the sisters who tell me the story of how their mother was kidnapped, or how their, one guy was telling me how his girlfriend was abducted from her home in Lewiston, that really stays with me, right? But imagine the other stories that I don't know, and the other people that have been taken from our state and are in, like, some one guy is in Indiana, Brazil, Indiana, and they're just shipping people off very quickly to get them away from our home state, and they're, that we can't even intervene, or we can't even support them or get to them. They're just, getting people across state lines and across the, to the other side of the country. One story is there was American US citizen who lived here for a couple of decades, driving, and he was cornered by ICE just in the street as he was in his car. And the ICE agents, when they told him that he looked suspicious, and they demanded for his passport and asked him if he was a citizen, and he said he is, and then said, "Show me your passport." And he said, "I will not show you my passport." And then they asked for a state ID. He showed, he didn't open his window, but through the, he showed his state ID. But after a couple of back and forth conversations, they let him go. But he's an American citizen. He's a community leader, so no one is really safe. Everyone is getting harassed here.
A lot of cases of people asking if they're US citizens and asking, being asked for their ID.
There's no justification for that. It's like, if you are black or brown, or if you look different, or if you have an accent, you are asked for papers and show proof if you are here legally. They're literally targeting people just because of the skin of the color of their skin. That's not how a sitting president should act. We are no longer in a democracy, and it's really terrifying.
But the response of the Lewiston community and the organizing that your organization has been doing, and a number of Somali American or Somalian immigrant led organizations, as well as the whole community and beyond, have really been doing an incredible amount of organizing to support those who are living in this fear. Can you talk about those efforts of community support and mutual aid?
For sure. Community Organizing Alliance, the organization that I oversee here in Lewiston, but we also work in the Portland area, but we've been predominantly engaged in the Lewiston Auburn efforts because, there always seems to be more attention in the greater Portland area. And unfortunately, sometimes the Lewiston and the northern parts of the state get neglected. So me and a couple of community leaders, some Somali American, women leaders that I look up to, and some amazing partners here in the Lewiston Auburn area. I will name a few, Generational Noor, IFCA Services, and then the Southern Maine Workers Center, Gather to Grow, and few volunteers have came together and created a Lewiston Auburn LA response network. So again, the network consists of different groups, but so far we've been providing mutual aid around food and grocery delivery, ride trans you know and transportation, logistic support, community defense, we've been supporting folks on, and school defense. So this network is really, it's been constant. But the beautiful thing is there has been like people from Vermont to New Hampshire to deep northern parts of the state to the county have been pouring their hearts and pouring support into us and wanting to volunteer in any way that they can, whether to provide our rights to folks, to provide cultural food, to, go someone to work with them, house them. Mainers are just such incredible, incredible people, resilient people. And I'm just so glad to call this state my home, and because neighbors have been really looking out for each other, right? It's been incredible. I'm just stunned.
And if people do want to get involved in plugging to your networks or sharing resources, where can they go?
They can for volunteers, anyone who wants to volunteer can send an email to info@COAMaine, spelled out, dot org. That's info@COAMaine.org. We have also a website. We haven't been very much good at publicity and visibility just because we've just so like been deep in the work of community response and rapid response engagement here in the Lewiston Auburn area. And I the fight will continue. The fight will continue, with Susan Collins' message of ICE halting their operations. I think it's a tactic to deorganize us and confuse us, and for us to not engage in the work that we've been already engaging in. But we're not gonna do that. People are still in fear. People are still living in uncertainty. People are still uncomfortable going outside because of what they have seen happen to their families and to their neighbors and friends. So it's gonna be a long time they recover from that trauma. I'm very saddened that, my community has been targeted. It's really heartbreaking, but we will continue to be at this, right? So just because Susan says it's over, it doesn't mean that it's over.
you and many others organized an incredible rally there this last Saturday. Do you want to talk about the energy that came in that day?
Yes, it was absolutely amazing. I didn't know. I thought we were gonna hit 500 people. I've held a rally December 13 when Trump called Somali Americans garbage, when he told us to go back to our home country, Somalia. And around 400 people came out to that in a very short notice, but over 1,000 people coming out this Saturday to tell that we do not want ICE in Maine, and to for ICE to get out of Maine, really sent a strong message. We had people from across the state, people who drove hours, clergy who drove across every part of Maine. We had over 20, we have a lot, we had a lot of clergy on that podium. Yeah, it was just it I'm just so deeply, deeply thankful.
And a lot of politicians, granted that a lot of them were running for office, but it seemed that people were speaking from a moral place.
Exactly. And these politicians, I've known them for a long time, and I see them more as friends and allies, and right in the fight with me and with us. So I'm glad that they were there, and we had amazing community speakers as well who are doing the work on the ground. So it was a really well done rally.
Great.
Stay
Do you have
tuned for the next one.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and you're welcome back anytime. We really appreciate your time and your work in sharing that with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here with you all. Thank you.
That was Sophia Khalid with the Community Organizing Alliance in Lewiston. You are listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio, 89.9 FM, Blue Hill. Last Saturday, January 24th, over 1,000 people rallied in Lewiston against the terrorizing ICE operations in Maine and the Lewiston community. 2.5 hours of speakers included Lewiston organizers and members of community groups, clergy, the mayors of Lewiston and Portland, and a number of state political figures, including recent State Senate President Troy Jackson, Secretary of State Shenna Bellows, former State Representative and Director of Governor's Office of Policy Innovation, Hannah Pingree, all current gubernatorial candidates, candidate for U.S. Senate, Graham Plattner, and U.S. Representative Shelley Pingree. All spoke passionately against the ICE operations in Maine and in support of the state's immigrant residents. Today, we highlight the voices of a number of Somalian American leaders and organizers working in Lewiston. We begin with Sophia Khalid.
We are watching that what ICE is doing across this country. We are watching families separated in broad daylight. We are watching people detained without clarity, without transparency, without basic human dignity. We are watching communities get terrorized and told it's for their own good. This is not about criminals. That is the lie they sell to people to make them comfortable. The people calling me are workers. They are parents. They are taxpayers. They are people who clean buildings, drive trucks, run small businesses, work in hospitals, and show up every single day to build this country. The fear you are hearing in those messages is not the fear of guilt. It is the fear of being targeted for who they are. When parents are afraid to drive to work and children are afraid that their mom or dad won't come home, something fundamental has broken. When entire communities feel like they have to move in silence, coordinate rights and secrets, and calculate every risk just to survive, that is not law and order.
That is state power used as intimidation. And we do not, and we do need to be honest about what this moment represents. This is what democratic backsliding looks like. It does not always arrive with one dramatic announcement. It happens when due process becomes optional. It happens when constitutional protections feel selective. It happens when entire groups of people are labeled as threats, so the public will accept their suffering. There is an effort in this country to define who belongs and who does not, to define who is American enough and who is disposable, to convince people that it is not happening to them, it is not their problem. That is how division works. That is how dehumanization spreads. That is how cracks in a nation widens. But here is what they miscalculated. They underestimated community. Work. They underestimated networks that will deliver groceries. They underestimated people who refuse to look away, and they underestimated the power of solidarity. Immigrants are not a talking point. They are our co-workers, our classmates, our friends, and our families. They are woven into the economy, the culture, and the soul of this country. You cannot terrorize one part of the community without destabilizing all of it. We are here because fear will not be the final word. Negotiable. We are here because if democracy means anything, it means the rule of law applies to everyone and the Constitution protects each and every one of us. And if those principles are being weakened, then it is on each and every one of us to strengthen them. So, we will organize, we will protect one another, we will speak clearly, we will not allow our neighbors to be isolated or erased. They want people afraid and alone. Instead, they get us together.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay. My name is Amran, and I'm not just standing here as an organizer, as an executive director, but somebody who grew up here. I've been here since preschool. I walked these streets. Lewis and Auburn isn't just cities to me, they're my home. They're the only home that I've ever known. So I run an organization called Generational Noir. I started Generational Noir to be a safe space for youth, a safe space for families, and for people who have always been told to stay quiet, stay invisible, and stay small. Our office has always been filled with laughter, with kids doing their homework, kids just being kids. But right now, our office is empty. Not because the kids don't need us, but the kids are scared. They're afraid. The scared they're scared to walk outside. They're scared to come to spaces that once protected them. They're scared to show up because they think that showing up to somewhere means that they might not make it home. No child should have to feel this way. No child should fear going somewhere and not coming back home. No child should fear going to school, coming home, and their parents not being there. Our children do not deserve this. I myself have been told to go back to my country. I have been told that I do not belong here, but I do belong here. I belong here. I was raised here. My memories are here. My community is here. My home is here. And to every youth and every child listening today, I want you to hear me clearly. You belong here. You belong in the safe spaces that have been filled with joy, learning, and care. You belong here. This is your country. It's your country as much as it is everybody else. I should not have to be afraid to leave my house because I don't have my ID and documents with me. I spent about 2 hours looking for my passport the other day because I was afraid. Kids should not have to fear walking to schools. They should not have to fear coming home. And they should not have to fear going to school the next day and their best friend is not there. Do you know how much trauma that causes? How much trauma they fear? I have a friend who had her child come home and ask her, my friend at school told me that I could be taken away because of the color of my skin. Do you know how much trauma that causes? She had to have a conversation that she never thought she would have to have and say, no, do not be afraid. But she couldn't. She can't say that. So she had to tell her child, who was in elementary school, that it is a fear. Some of their classmates, they might come back to school and they might not be there. Some of their classmates might tell them that their parents are gone. And that shouldn't be happening. What's happening right now is not just policy, it's not just politics. It's trauma. Kids are being traumatized. Families are being traumatized. And families are being torn apart. Children are learning fear far too young than they should have to. But on a good note, moments like these, moments when we gather, when we speak, when we stand together, these are the moments that show how truly strong we are. It shows that. It shows that we are resilient. The people of Lewis and Auburn are not backing down. We are standing together. We are working together. We have each other's backs. The people of Lewis and Auburn, you can't take us down. We've got this. We're going to make this happen.
How is everyone feeling today? My name is Shukri Abdurrahman. I'm a county commissioner and a fellow community organizer. And today, we are here because state violence is not law and order, it is cruelty. We are here because ICE raids do not make families safer, do not make us safer. They make children afraid, workers silent, and families disappear. That is not justice, that is terror. Immigrants are not the problem. The problem is a system that cages human beings, profits off of suffering, and calls it enforcement. Today, we refuse to accept fear as policy. We refuse to accept silence as safety. We refuse to let our neighbors be hunted down. Let me remind you, no human being is illegal. No family is disposable, and no community survives when we allow this type of stuff to happen. We stand together because when they come for one of us, they come for all of us. We call to end the raid, end the detention, and finally, end ICE. What do we want? When do we want it? What do we want? When do we want it? Thank you everybody for being here. My name is Efrak Sarit-Risa. I am a proud Lewiston resident. To our elected
for your presence. Thank you for your resistance. In Somali, we say, "Midnimo wa hok." That means unity is strength. When we stand together, we are powerful. When we stand together, we cannot be ignored. We are here because love is stronger than fear.
Again, those were some of the numerous speakers from the ICE rally held in Lewiston this past Saturday. You were listening to Radioactive on WERU 89.9 FM. Yesterday, January 29th, the Maine Legislature's Judiciary Committee held a public hearing on emergency legislation sponsored by Gorham State Representative L. Sato. LD 2106, an act to prohibit the disclosure of non-public records without judicial review, would protect healthcare facilities, schools, libraries, and daycare facilities from sharing their records with immigration officials without a judicial warrant, and additionally prevent immigration agents from entering the non-public parts of those facilities without a judicial warrant. On January 20th of last year, President Trump rescinded those protections upheld in previous administrations. The vast majority of oral and written testimony has been in support of the bill, including Governor Mills. We hear some of the testimony presented in Augusta yesterday. Written comments are still being accepted.
Senator Carney, Representative Kuhn, and esteemed members of the Joint Standing Committee on Judiciary. My name is Ellie Sato, and I represent House District 109, which includes part of Gorham. And I'm proud to be here today to present LD 2106, an act to prohibit the disclosure of non-public records without proper judicial review. This past week, we have begun to see how U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement operates in full force in our state. The Department of Homeland Security has begun their, quote, Operation Catch of the Day, unquote, which has resulted in the unlawful detention of many of our community members, the vast majority of whom don't have criminal records. In fact, according to data from the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse out of Syracuse University, about 73% of those detained as of November 30th, 2025, did not have a criminal record across the country. Advocates have recommended that immigrants shelter in place. Many in our community aren't going to work, not attending school, nor are they going to the doctor when they need medical care. To be clear, the current ICE operation in Maine doesn't just affect the immigrant community. It affects all Mainers of color, regardless of immigration status. We are all living in fear of being disappeared by ICE, including those who were born here, like myself. I now carry my passport on me at all times, something that never would have crossed my mind 2 years ago. It is truly devastating to see the terror and fear in our communities. That's why I'm here today presenting this bill that would further strengthen due process in our state. This bill would require those conducting immigration enforcement to provide valid judicial warrants in order to enter non-public areas of sensitive locations, which includes public schools, health facilities, daycares, and public libraries, to either detain individuals or retrieve non-public records and preventing voluntary consent for entry. This bill is narrowly tailored to solely impact federal immigration enforcement and would not inhibit state county, or local law enforcement from conducting their duties. And for those who've just gotten my testimony, I believe I'm on page 2. The purpose of this bill is to strengthen existing constitutional protections under the Fourth Amendment. Immigration and Customs Enforcement previously operated under the, quote, sensitive locations policy, which prohibited civil immigration enforcement in sensitive locations unless under exigent circumstances. This legislation is a state version of that policy, which was in effect from October 2011 to January 2025 under various federal administrations of both parties. This legislation only restricts voluntary consent for entry in the absence of a valid judicial warrant signed by a judge, a right that we all can exercise under the Fourth Amendment to the Maine and U.S. constitutions. By strengthening due process, we would be improving public trust. Maine Health has reported that they have seen an increase in, quote, call outs with an increased presence of ICE in our state, leading to understaffing. Community organizations are reporting that people aren't seeking medical care when they need it for fear of being detained. In a time when access to medical care in Maine is already decreasing, the terrifying tactics of immigration enforcement that we are seeing on the ground are only exacerbating this public health issue. This legislation would help both medical professionals and patients feel safer entering health facilities to work and seek care. Public schools, daycares, and libraries are the primary locations where children stay when they are not at home. And children are some of the most vulnerable in our state. Many students are already staying home from school for fear of being detained by ICE. Schools across our state are seeing increases in absenteeism as a result of the ongoing immigration enforcement. Last Friday, over 1,100 students were absent from the Portland School District, which includes nearly half of the multilingual population of that student body. This legislation would provide another layer of protection for students from the violence that we have seen occur when ICE conducts detention. After recent conversations with stakeholders, I would suggest that the committee look further at our ability as a state to direct private entities to comply with this proposed legislation during the work session. And I will continue to work with stakeholders and advocates to ensure that the final language can be implemented and will, in fact, help our communities. The heart of this legislation is the intent to reduce violence in these community hubs and public facilities where the most vulnerable in our state seek services. The tactics that we have seen ICE use to detain and incarcerate individuals causes extensive harm and terror in our communities. 9 people have already died in this country this year alone as a result of ICE. It's not even the end of the month yet. This bill is aimed at preventing this violence from occurring in our schools, hospitals, libraries, and daycares, because such violence causes permanent and lasting harm on children who have to witness it or experience it firsthand. We have the opportunity to help our neighbors, friends, and family be safer and live their lives freely without terror. So I urge you to vote ought to pass on this legislation.
My name is Ashlyn Ward. I'm a registered nurse in labor and delivery at Eastern Maine Medical Center, and I'm a member of the Maine State Nurses Association. MSNA represents over 4,000 registered nurses and direct care workers in Maine. On behalf of myself and my union, I ask for your vote to pass this critical emergency legislation as rapidly as possible with the strongest possible protections for our patients and workplaces. Nurses make it our mission to care for and save human lives. We are outraged by the ongoing unchecked violence of immigration agents across the country. Immigration enforcement agencies pose a dire public health threat to all of our communities. As we speak, immigration agents are flooding the streets of Maine, detaining, intimidating, and terrorizing members of our community. These agents intimidate everyday people from going about their lives, whether that's taking their kids to school, going to work, or coming to our hospitals. Fear of ICE keeps people from seeking medical care, turning manageable health issues into emergencies and allowing disease to spread unchecked. That is not an unintended consequence. It is a predictable outcome. Agencies that terrorize communities into avoiding medical care are actively fueling a public health crisis, and the consequences will be measured in preventable suffering, overwhelming our already overwhelmed hospitals, and lost lives. As nurses, our priority is our patients. Our hospitals are places where people go to be healed, to be cared for, and to feel safe as they focus on getting well. But ICE's current campaign of violence and terror makes us fear and expect dangerous, inhumane actions by immigration enforcement agents in our health facilities. ICE agents are acting with unconditional authority, disregarding traditional safe havens. Nurses need this bill to protect our patients and ourselves from ICE violence in our facilities.
Good afternoon, Senator Carney, Representative Kuhn, members of the Judiciary Committee. My name is Alicia Melnick. I am an attorney at Bernstein Scherer, but I am here today before you on behalf of the Maine Nurse Practitioners Association in support of LD 2106, an act to prohibit the disclosure of non-public records without proper judicial review, and asking for your support. As a primary care provider of adults in a rural, underserved community healthcare setting, it is crucial to advocate for our patients' privacy and confidentiality, regardless of practice settings. Some of my colleagues in Southern Maine have shared alarming numbers of patients who are not keeping medical appointments out of fear of being accosted by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. These are people who are here legally awaiting immigration and asylum processes, who entered lawfully, are undergoing these processes as they are directed, and are under extreme duress. The current climate with ICE kidnappings and detainments is the ultimate added injury to a very vulnerable population, so many of whom have already been harmed in their countries of birth. Missed appointments impact the management of chronic conditions and contribute to poor health outcomes. Threatened access to public schools, libraries, education classes adversely affect education and health. Workforce attendance suffers if daycare is a necessity for parents to earn a living and support their families, yet they are afraid to leave their children. Schools, libraries, and daycares have high numbers of students and children and low numbers of staff. It is imperative to provide judiciary protections and clarity from a government organization that clearly does not follow the law. Again, I am asking for your support to vote ought to pass on LD 2106, an emergency bill to protect Maine citizens and prohibit the sharing or disclosure of private information or allow access to non-public areas. And that was signed by Dorothy O'Keefe, co-chair of the Maine Nurse Practitioner Association. And also you have testimony, I believe, submitted from another colleague at the Maine Nurse Practitioners Association that I hope you will review from Constance Jordan, who also urges you to pass this bill. Thank you.
Greetings. Good afternoon. My name's Taylor Treese. I'm a Mainer. I live here in Augusta. I'm a registered nurse, and I'm here to testify in my support of LD 2106. At the core, this bill is about who we choose to be as a state. For decades, under both administrations, our country has recognized that immigration enforcement does not belong in places where people go to heal, learn, and care for their children. Hospitals, schools, daycares were treated as sensitive locations because society understood a basic moral truth. No one should have to choose between the safety of between their safety and their health, or between a child's education and their family survival. That understanding has been abandoned, and the harm is already becoming visible. Patients are delaying care until pain becomes unbearable. Parents hesitate to bring in sick children. Chronic illnesses go untreated, not because people are irresponsible, but because they're afraid. Fear does not make communities safer. It makes suffering invisible until it becomes an emergency.
My name is Jane Makala, and I live in Falmouth. I urge passage of this bill based on both my faith and my respect for the dedicated educators, healthcare workers, and other service providers in this state. My faith is Unitarian Universalism. Like many other faiths, we believe that every person is inherently worthy and has the right to live in our society with dignity, whatever their origin or immigration status. That includes the right to access the basic programs and services available to the public, such as education and healthcare, without being terrorized by a quota-based ICE dragnet. The need for this bill is illustrated by the immigration operation in Maine right now. People with clear legal status and no criminal convictions are being swept up, quickly transferred out of state. Children are being kept out of school. Lawyers are having to advise their immigrant clients that despite their legal status or presence, they should stay home and basically hide. This bill also helps the workers we ask to care for those we hold most dear, frontline employees in our healthcare, educational, daycare, and other public facilities who may now be faced with ICE forcing their way through the door and demanding to search what should be protected records or to question those receiving services. None of them signed on to be bouncers, and they shouldn't now have to make on-the-spot decisions about compliance in the absence of a judicial warrant.
Good afternoon, Senator Kenny, Representative Khan, and a member of the Judiciary Committee. My name is Susan Corrales, and I'm a resident of Vassaburo. I'm here today in strong support of LD 2106. I represent all my fellow Black and Indigenous family who are being racially profiled and harassed by ICE. I speak for these community members who are in fear of their freedom and are silenced to share their story here today. LD 2106 is a necessary emergency measure to ensure that non-public records are not disclosed without proper judicial review, and that private spaces such as hospitals, schools, and childcare centers remain places of care and learning. This has been one of the most stressful weeks for me. While I organized to collect basic necessities to help a few of my community members, I find myself scared for my safety. I carry my passport with me while delivering donations to family in Lewiston, Auburn area. These families are afraid to send their children to school, childcare, schedule doctor's appointment, attend food pantries, and take in just as simply a healthy walk because of the threat of immigration enforcement entering private spaces.
The Portland Press Herald reports today high school students across southern Maine and Lewiston are planning to walk out of class or not attend in coordination with a national general strike opposing ICE operations. Since the beginning of the ICE surge in Maine, school attendance has dropped in targeted towns. The Portland Press Herald reports more than 50 shops and restaurants will also close as part of the general strike. There also will be a rally at 3 p.m. in Portland's Monument Square. And in Bangor this evening at 5 p.m., National Nurses United will hold a candlelight vigil in front of the federal building. In response to Susan Collins' announcement yesterday that ICE has ended enhanced activities in the state of Maine, the Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project, ILAP, confirms there has been a drop in new requests for emergency legal help for people arrested by ICE in Maine. But ILAP Director Sue Roche writes, quote, "The need for urgent and legal and other assistance for impacted families and communities remain. ILAP and partners are working to secure the freedom of people swept up by ICE over the past week, which includes mostly asylum seekers with no criminal record, who were racially profiled and taken from their cars and off the streets," end quote. For more information and resources, you can visit these websites, ILAP, I-L-A-P, Maine.org. MaineImmigrantRights.org, CommunityActionAlliance.org, and PresenteMaine.org. Both ILAP and Maine ACLU now have a form to apply for detention attorneys. You can find this form at ILAPMaine.org/detention. That's ILAPMaine.org/detention. To contribute to the Maine Solidarity Fund, offering financial aid for legal and family support, you can go to mainesolidarity.org. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco on WERU Community Radio 89.9 FM Blue Hill. You can listen to archives of this and other locally produced programming at weru.org.